Welcome to That's Wild Podcast, the podcast that explores the amazing natural world that surrounds us and astounds us. I'm your MC, Dustin Bean, and our hosts, Susan Altrui and Joy Matlock, will share insights and mind-blowing facts that will leave you saying, "That's wild." It's all about inspiring you, the listener, to value and conserve our natural world. That's Wild is brought to you by the Arkansas Zoological Foundation and produced by the Little Rock Zoo. So with that, let's get wild.
All right, thank you to our MC and cruise director and host, Mr. Dustin Bean, for that fantastic introduction. So I was thinking to myself, what makes us qualified to have a podcast?
What indeed?
Well, we both work at a zoo, which does make us qualified to have a podcast.
Okay.
So there is that.
Okay.
We have that qualification to talk about animals, which we're going to do a lot of during this podcast for our wonderful listeners. But honestly, there's no reason for us to have a podcast.
Oh.
Let's just be really honest about that.
Surely you just.
Here's the thing. We are 100% qualified to have a podcast.
Okay.
Because everyone has a podcast.
And we're
days.
Everyone.
And we are everyone. So I'm really glad that we have a podcast because we actually have some really interesting things to say. And we're going to have a lot of really interesting things to say on this podcast.
I agree.
I'm glad we're here to launch our first podcast of That's Wild. It is wild that we've now got our own podcast, Joy.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've been at the zoo 3 years and everything I've learned on my job, I've learned at my job, and most of that has been about the animals, and everything that I have learned has been amazing, and some of it has been wild. So I think it's perfect that that's the name of our show, because everything from gestation periods to how we pick animals to become parents is amazing. So why not have a podcast to talk about it?
Right, that's wild, because it's wild what we do, the conservation work we do with the animals, the work that we're doing to save species.
Mm-hmm.
It's wild. You know, we've got a really, really interesting show today.
We do.
Now, you know what? It's spooky season.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite times of the year.
Oh, really?
It is.
Okay. Why is that?
Well, I love Halloween
because
it means we get to be dressed up.
Okay.
We get to be someone else.
Okay.
And it's also interesting, too, because we get to showcase some of our more frightening animals. But
well,
we also get to educate people about those animals.
Okay.
And what I love about this is that we have a lot of animals that, you know, people are often scared of, but we get to educate people why they're so great.
Absolutely. And I think that's part of the missions of a zoo, is to make sure that animals not only are taken care of, the zoos that are, the animals that are part of our collection, but also to make sure that people walk away knowing about the animal and appreciating it. For instance, in my own personal life, I did not like reptiles. I mean, a snake was great at a distance.
At a distance.
But now that I have understood that snakes have a great part of our ecosystem and that they have a really great piece that they do to keep us safe and maybe take care of predators or things like that, I appreciate them on a new level. And in fact, I can even say there's some reptiles I like.
What reptiles do you like now?
So I have to tell you, I have a friend that we may meet a little bit later. I think we are going to meet her, Hannah, who has exposed me to the bearded dragon.
Okay.
We have a bearded dragon at the zoo named Steve.
Oh, wait. Steve, the bearded dragon?
Steve, the bearded dragon.
Okay.
And I have
to
love bearded dragons, and I've actually started to talk to my husband and try to maybe cajole him into maybe one day owning one. I don't think I have him there yet, but maybe one day.
Okay.
And I like iguanas. Which is new, and also red tegus. So those are my three new reptile friends, I have to say.
For spooky season, do you ever dress up?
You know, I have a go-to
dress
up outfit. It is a graduation dress that I wore from high school.
It's
not just a typical. I went to an all-girls school where we wear all white dresses, so it's a completely white dress.
Wow.
Has a little bit of a flow to it.
A flow.
And yes, and I wear a crown, and I have a little
I'm sorry, wait. You wore a crown
Not for the graduation. I wear that as part of the costume. The costume. For the costume, I had the crown and the wand.
What color was this dress?
It's white. Completely white.
Wait, are you a princess for Halloween?
How did you know?
Oh!
Yes.
Is a princess.
So I'm always a princess for Halloween.
back to the podcast and what we're talking about today, which is we're talking all about the terrorizing animals that are out there and the horrific things that some of them do, but also the great things they do for the environment.
For
and
sure.
I love that about spooky season. I want to dive right into a very interesting topic we're going to talk about, which is Aliens, the movie.
The movie.
Let's take it on back.
Miss Sigourney Weaver.
And I want to talk about the fact that what's so brilliant about that movie is that the alien themselves, the aliens are in that, were inspired by some really interesting real life similarities of animals that are out there.
Yes.
And the parasitic behaviors of some deep sea amphipods that we have in the real world that lays its eggs inside the bodies of other organisms. How about that? And so we've got some really interesting things happening there. That's a brilliant movie for a lot of reasons.
First of all, yes.
And did you know that it has become one of the most popular science fiction movies of all time?
I did not know that.
Yeah, I was just reading about this. That it is in the annals with a lot of other very popular science fiction films.
That was the first of its kind, I think.
One of the first 80s. Of its kinds. I also just read too that the character of Ripley, which Sigourney Weaver played, was originally going to be cast as a male.
Wow.
How about that? But then they said nope. Let's cast it as a female.
Okay.
So think about how different that movie would have been
for sure.
If it had been casted as a male versus a female. So I think that's pretty interesting. But the creatures that are in that movie, the aliens themselves, were inspired by real life creatures
animals.
That we have here on Earth.
Isn't
and
amazing?
Some of the parasitic behaviors that we have that are here on Earth. And they're also kind of very close in appearance to the Arctic sea spiders that we have here on Earth, which I think is fascinating, right? So I love that, absolutely love that. I don't know if our producers have the ability for those that are watching in person to show some pictures of that, but that's amazing that we're able to show some of those pictures and see some of that. For those that are listening on the podcast, Google Arctic sea spider and check that out because it's an actual inspiration for that film. When's the last time you watched Aliens?
Ooh, man. I was probably in high school,
right?
Which of course was yesterday.
Oh, but okay, that was yesterday for me too, right?
Yeah.
And it was not that long
but
ago,
But I remember
right?
being terrified that scene where they're trying to help one of their shipmates that's sick on the table and the alien comes out of the chest. That scarred a lot of Gen Xers. I think plenty of us are still having nightmares about that today sure.
And you know what's interesting about it too is that in several places the men on the ship don't listen to the one female on the ship.
Who knew what she was talking about, right?
And in the end, the female is the only one who survives. And at the end, it's Ripley and Jones. You remember who Jones is?
Jones, her cat.
The cat. I remember too very clearly. When they blasted off from that capsule, and then that alien was still holding on.
Oh, yes.
Remember that?
Right.
Oh, that's that old school movie making when you think they're safe, but they're not
really safe,
and there's like one more piece of it where they got to fight one more time, you know? And you think, oh my gosh, are they going to die? Is the cat going to die? Nope, they got to fight one more time, and then she blasts the alien off into space, and they're safe, and then she and Riley are safe. And then Ripley and Jones are still safe. Thank goodness. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I think that movie was probably...
I just got my heart rate up thinking about it. So glad you're all right, Ripley.
And yes, we are. And they just did some, they've done lots of kind of part twos and part threes of that movie. I think there was one that came out recently.
The last year
or two. But
nothing like the original, though.
Yeah, nothing like the original.
Nothing like the original.
But I mean, I think she was one of the first heroes for movies, and that became a kind of an archetype that we see a lot.
So here's some other animals that also came from, that inspired that film.
Okay.
The goblin shark. Did you even know there was a goblin shark?
No.
Nope, me either. I mean, isn't that interesting? It has extendable jaws and sharp teeth. How about that?
Huh.
Yeah.
because it's not bad enough they have the big teeth that they have already.
Yeah, no,
they have to come closer to you with their jaws.
It has to extend out even farther.
Okay. That's not enough. Okay.
Right, we have to extend out even farther.
Even further.
Right,
mm-hmm.
even farther. Yep, yep. Also, there's the parasitoid wasp, which lays eggs inside other creatures. Yummy. With larvae that later burst outside of the host's body.
That's convenient. Yeah.
Yummy.
Yeah, you think you're meeting a new friend and they're laying eggs inside you. That's not good.
I think you found a new friend.
No.
Nope.
No, they're just using you.
Those are what we call a chest burster in the animal kingdom. It's lovely. Mm-hmm. Isn't that just so wonderful? There is also a tongue-eating louse in our world.
This animal, looking at our notes here, it replaces its the tongue of its predator or its prey with its own self, so that as the animal's eating new things, it's getting that food for itself.
Ugh.
That's disgusting.
That's just horrific.
But it's also kind of clever.
Clever. It is definitely clever. I'll give it that. It is definitely clever.
Because it doesn't have to end up doing all the work. It just sits there as the new food
there
comes.
There is that. I mean, that's quite an adaptation when you think about
it. Yeah, it
like,
is.
I mean, I'm not having to do near as much work if that's the case. Yeah, no, I could just, you know, eat the tongue and move on. Just eat part of my friend and, you know, goodbye.
And there you go.
Yeah.
So
my
clever,
gosh.
Gross, all the things.
Oh, my goodness.
But again, you know, we say these things are gross, and to us as humans, they are.
Right.
But for these animals, these are ways, you use the word adaptation.
Yep.
It's how they've adapted over the years of evolution to, you know, continue to be part of the life cycle.
Right, survive in their environment.
Yeah.
Right,
of these
that's
ecosystems.
What they do.
And that's what we're doing at the zoo, is trying to teach these little things to people so that, we can consider it gross because that's not how we get our food as humans.
Right.
But
that's
how that animal is existing in the wild.
That's right, that's what the world
how
is.
How we can come to appreciate it, too.
That's right, that's right. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. There's beauty in the horror.
There's beauty in the horror. That's a good tagline.
That's right. And there's a lot of people that find beauty in horror. I mean, look at how many people love Halloween. So,
true.
Yeah.
Now, we talked about what I do typically for a Halloween costume. What do you do?
I am so
you're so glad.
Glad that you brought that up. I like Halloween. I also, too, like to dress up. So this year's costume, this year's costume. So I found, I'm going to go as, I think anyways, because I may have to switch based on some recent current events. I'm going to go as J-Lo. I found the J-Lo Grammys 2000 dress.
The green thing?
Yes,
ooh,
ma'am.
Right. The dip thing.
Which means that, like, you know, body, yaddy, yaddy. I got to get things together in the next, like, 2 to 3 weeks to really wear this dress.
Yeah.
Back to the animals and the murderous animals that we're talking about
that we
today.
Appreciate because of their role in the ecosystem.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah. So, but we have one more animal to talk about, which is the shrew, which is venomous, another murderous animal, terrifying. Another one to talk about for the Halloween season.
Okay.
For spooky season.
Spooky season.
The shrew is one that will use venom to paralyze its victims, drag them to its home. And keeps its victims alive for a time while it feasts upon its victim.
Oh my, that is spooky.
Slowly feasting on its victim and keeping it alive.
That's mean, actually. I mean, it's just mean. Why don't you just off the animal?
I know.
You know?
But it likes the fresh meat.
Maybe that's what it is.
And it also does prey hoarding, too. It just gets more and more victims.
Well, you never know if you can have friends over. You need to have food for your friends. You want to have a little gathering.
A gathering, if you will. Come over for dinner.
Yes.
We'd love for you to come over for dinner. That's what the shrew says. Come over for dinner.
You never know.
You never know.
He's a planner.
He's a planner. planning ahead for dinner.
Exactly.
Oh, I love it. You know, I was listening to something the other day, and it said, you know, to us it sounds cruel, but mm-hmm. this is just the adaptation the mm-hmm. animal has made to survive.
Exactly.
So this is survival.
Again. Exactly.
So
yeah.
I mean, Jeffrey Dahmer would say the same thing. It's just survival.
It's what you
just
do.
Just to hoard people and eat them.
Maybe not.
You know, survival. Well, speaking of survival,
yes.
Speaking of horrific animals that also do great things for our environment, we're going to bring on our special guest.
Oh!
Coming up in our next segment, we have Hannah Baker. She's a curator at Little Rock Zoo, and she has a special guest, which I'll let her introduce to you.
So, Hannah, thank
Hello.
You for joining us
Happy
on That's Wild.
That's Wild.
So, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, well, what do you want to know about me? My name's Hannah. I'm the ambassador animal curator at the zoo. I've been at the zoo for about 13 years, which is amazing. I didn't plan on working at a zoo. I just kind of fell into it while I was in school, and I love it because I get to teach people like you guys about all these animals.
That's amazing, and we love that. And we also love that you give us the opportunity to learn about animals that we might be a little bit scared of and might need to learn a little bit more about them. So we appreciate them, like our friend that we have here. So tell us a little bit about our very special guest we have
I'd
today.
I'd love to. You guys have both known me long enough to know I love talking about animals that not everybody loves right when they look at them. Because conservation is not just for the cute and cuddly. So I brought Buzz. Buzz, and she's moving right now, right on cue. Buzz is a Chilean rose-haired tarantula. So looking at her, do you guys see why she might be called rose hair? You see anything
she's
at all?
Pinkish.
She is kind of pink. Yep. So they've got kind of a pink hue to their hair.
Okay.
Okay. These guys are native to Chile, Argentina, and Bolivia. So
okay.
Not in the United States. They live in South America. But arachnophobia, speaking of scary animals, mm-hmm. arachnids are something that scares a lot of people. That's one of the biggest fears around. So we brought her to maybe dispel some of those fears.
I hope so.
Yeah. So why are they important to the environment? What do they do?
Okay, so these guys are super cool. A lot of the animals you talked about live in very extreme environments. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to start there because some of these crazy adaptations that look really wild and are really wild are because they live in really harsh environments. So, like, and I know I'm kind of going off on a tangent here, but you know I could talk about animals all day.
Oh, we do.
So, like your goblin shark has that really long nose. He lives in deep, dark ocean environments, so they need extra sensory organs so that they can detect prey because they have to be able to find prey. These guys also have sensory organs, so this tarantula is covered in little hairs. They're not actually hairs like we have, but they do use them for several things. One of the things is sensing vibration, so that's how they can find their prey. Do you have any idea what else they can do with their hairs? Like, say, for defense.
Oh,
I'm scared. I'm scared
to
ask.
Them.
They, yes.
No.
You are so good.
That's
yeah.
wild.
It is.
That's wild.
So
no.
Not all tarantulas can do this, but this one can.
No. Wow. Will she do that today?
She should not.
Okay.
Hopefully, if we keep her happy.
Okay.
Okay.
They will use their little back legs, flick their hairs, and their hairs are really irritating. Mm-hmm. So they flick them into the eyes or the mouths or whatever the predator is. And it almost, I've been flicked by their hairs before. It feels like fiberglass. It's just really, really irritating.
Wow.
So that's one of their defenses.
So what did you do to make it upset that it flicked its hairs at
you? I didn't do anything to make her upset. Actually, I don't remember. It was a long time ago. I might have just touched her and gotten some on me.
Gotcha.
But to answer your question, what do these guys do for the environment? Mm-hmm. Spiders and tarantulas are invaluable for controlling pest populations. So they're not everybody's favorite, but they do eat bugs. They eat pests. A lot of these pests destroy crops. So you really need these guys around for humans.
Mm-hmm. So they're important for agriculture and things
food.
Of that sort.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. That's wild.
That is wild.
It is wild.
Yeah.
So is the Little Rock Zoo doing things to conserve this particular species of tarantula?
So this species is not endangered in the wild.
Okay.
We do have one species of tarantula in Arkansas. Are also not endangered. It's actually called the Texas brown tarantula or the Arkansas chocolate tarantula. They don't need our help, luckily, but they do need people to care about them because they're not cute and cuddly. So what we are doing is taking animals like snakes or tarantulas like Buzz and teaching people that even though they are a lot different than us, because people tend to be afraid of the things that are not familiar to them, right, that has with people and with animals, like, right, that goes in many different directions. But getting you guys up close to see that she's not actually going to do anything. This is a really docile animal that's not going to chase you down. She's not going to hurt you. We use these guys to educate about that. In fact, I looked up. There's never been a tarantula death ever for humans.
Oh, wow.
They've never caused any sort of human fatality. So even though they look really, really scary, they're totally harmless. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
She's coming to say hi. So yes, we're just going to pop this
Make sure
on.
She stays in her house.
Make sure she stays in her, yeah, little home.
Yes.
That's amazing. That's wild.
It is
love
wild.
That about her. Absolutely.
She actually is kind of cute, actually.
Some people do think they're cute because they are fuzzy. And she's actually standing up right now, so you can see this. I'll see if you guys can look at it. See her fangs?
Oh, yes.
Okay. So
turn her around this way. So
there you go.
So describe the fangs to us and what the fangs are like.
All right. So true spiders have fangs that go side to side, mm-hmm, like this, kind of like pinchers. Tarantula's fangs go up and down. So they're not actually true spiders.
So is it
spiders.
Like Dracula fangs?
Sure. Yes, it is just like Dracula. Yeah. They do use it to inject into their prey. Yeah. So they are ambush predator. Sorry. Rephrase, they're not ambush predators. They actually are pursuit predators. So they hunt their food.
Okay.
So they do not sit and wait. They chase down their food that they feel with these little hairs, mm-hmm, the vibrations. Mm-hmm. They jump onto them. They inject those fangs into their prey's back or body. Mm-hmm. And then they liquefy the inside, mm-hmm, turn it into,
ooh,
a nice little milkshake.
Smoothie.
Yep, exactly.
Milkshake brings all the boys to the
yep. And then they slurp it up.
That is, wow, kind of gross. Very creative.
Wow.
And that's wild.
Remind us again, what is their prey?
So they'll eat bugs.
Okay.
They're pretty much going to eat anything they can catch that's smaller than them. So, mm-hmm, it's usually invertebrates. They might eat frogs. They might eat small reptiles. They might eat really small rodents. But, yeah, anything they can. But mostly bugs.
Wow. Okay. Yep. That's fascinating.
I didn't know they ate rodents.
It's not like one of their main food sources. And there are over 1,000 species of tarantula in the world.
Wow.
They go from the size of your fingernail to the size of a dinner plate. Those tarantulas probably eat a lot bigger prey than, mm-hmm, she does. She's a pretty small tarantula.
I'm still fixated on the fact that the prey are liquefied. That is
they
wild
are.
To me that their prey get liquefied.
They're paralyzed and then turned into a milkshake.
Oh,
yep.
Wow. That is something.
But you said Arkansas's native tarantula is actually a Texas.
Yeah, it's just called the Texas brown tarantula. Okay. They're found, obviously, in a lot more states than Arkansas and Texas, but people in Arkansas call them the Arkansas chocolate. So it's got a bunch of different common names, all the same species. And even though these guys are a little... Oh, you guys look at this right here. See those two things sticking out? Her abdomen.
The back, yeah.
So those are her little spinnerets. So these guys do spin webs, but,
ooh,
not like a spider does to,
okay,
catch
so
their
describe
food.
For us what's sticking out from the back. Is that, are they like two little things sticking out from the back?
Yeah,
they just two little things poking out?
Yeah, they almost look like two little legs.
Oh, okay.
But they're not legs. And she uses those to pull the webbing out, and they line their burrows with them.
Oh, wow. So
she makes it nice and comfy and homey.
Okay.
These guys are actually pretty good mothers. They, mm-hmm, lay their eggs, they wrap the eggs into an egg sac, and then they protect their eggs. So.
Wow. But she, wow, said it's not a web like a spider web.
Is they just don't build webs to catch prey.
Oh,
it is just like that, though. I mean,
awesome.
Same stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's awesome, Hannah.
This is amazing.
She's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
thank you for bringing this guest on for us.
Of course. I'll have many others you guys will get to see soon.
Yes. Thank you.
Say bye, Buzz.
Bye, Buzz. Thank you for hanging out.
Joy, I'm just fascinated by everything that Hannah has just said.
Mm-hmm. We've learned a lot today.
We really have. I mean, everything that we have learned about animals today, mm-hmm, the conservation of these species, the, mm-hmm, importance of these species, and yes, they are horrifying and murderous, murderous, murderous.
But important to the environment,
yes,
important to ecosystems. We've learned about shrew and how that's an interesting way to collect one's prey and have dinner for later. We've learned about the louse and, mm-hmm, how that, mm-hmm, is an interesting, mm-hmm, way to, again, hide oneself and
consume
one's prey. So, mm-hmm, it's been an interesting walk through horrific wildlife.
I mean, the tarantula, look, she cute. Let's just put
it out there.
She was cute.
She was cute. Buzz was cute.
The way she eats is not cute, but she cute.
Yeah,
she was. I really enjoyed that.
She was very docile and fun. And, and maybe we'll take her out next time and play with her a little bit.
Maybe. Oh, maybe you can do that.
Maybe.
That's all you, Joy. That is not me.
But no, it's been a great day. We've learned a lot.
It has. Yeah. I have loved this first episode. I'm so looking forward to our next episodes. We've got so much fun animal facts and conservation stories to tell. Mm-hmm. There's so many great stories to tell. What's going on with this? What have you got going on here with this board?
Oh, my clipboard? This is
Mr. Bean, what did you call this?
I called it her steakhouse mini.
I mean, what?
It did the trick. It did the job. It held all my notes.
I think our producers just threw that in your lap and said, we're going to just call this a clipboard. But
I love the creativity.
Hold this whole thing up for us.
I love the creativity of our team.
For those that are watching on video, it is rather large.
This
and it is definitely a steakhouse menu. It's large and in charge,
and
but
this
it gets
is
the job
a
done,
picture
so.
Of winging it at its finest.
I love that you're
doing what you need to do.
That's exactly what you did today, and we, you know, we wung it through this whole thing.
We did.
And it was a wonderful episode.
Wonderful.
I'm so glad we were able to do it. I don't know why I'm holding these glasses that I never put on throughout the whole entire thing. I'm gonna put them on now and act like I'm really reading something.
I can read it a lot better.
Age. No, it's wow, it's unbelievable, you know. I see you're holding some glasses.
Well,
too.
I wore mine in between the takes so that no one saw them on my face.
Well, it's okay. I didn't mean to call you out like that.
That's okay.
I didn't mean to call you out like that.
It's okay.
Well, here's me trying to be J-Lo. Be J-Lo with the glasses.
With the glasses.
You think J-Lo wears glasses?
She does. She's got to.
She's got to.
She's got to.
She's in her 50s now, right?
53.
Oh, she definitely
she wears glasses.
She's got to wear readers. Yeah. There's no way.
Or maybe she's had the LASIK so she doesn't have to wear them anymore.
Maybe. I bet she does.
Maybe.
You know,
well, she's got
I've
tricks.
I wondered, did you think she gets injections too?
I'm sure she does several things we know nothing of.
Right.
Several things. Mm. But she looks perfect.
She does.
Just
look
about
perfect.
All the time.
Okay.
Yeah. Good for
Moving
her.
On.
Yay, J-Lo.
Moving on.
Yeah.
Well, it's been great. So, in summary, we're so happy that our audience was here to join us today. If you're listening, watching, whatever you're doing, we're so happy that you joined us. And happy that you're here too, Joy. Thank you for joining
Susan.
Me.
Yeah, thanks for
it's
having
been wild
this whole
to
party.
Have you.
It's been a wild day.
It's
been great. So shall we ask Dustin what's going on next?
What's going on next, Dustin?
Well, as we wrap up this Halloween special, we want to thank you for being a part of That's Wild. Thanks again to the Arkansas Zoological Foundation for supporting That's Wild. And to you, our listener, you can make a difference in wildlife every day. Subscribe for more, leave us a comment, share with your friends. Let's keep exploring the wonders of nature together.
Stay tuned for our next episode where we will explore the world of drama queens in wildlife. Thanks so much for joining us for today's episode, and we'll see you next time.